Hi, and welcome to the QuitCast for Writers. This is the show that helps you know what to quit, what to keep, and what to question. My name is Becca Syme, and I am a success coach for authors with thousands of hours in coaching some of the most successful people in this industry. My goal in this podcast is to help you understand why you're not having success if you aren't, and how to double down on the success you're already having. Anyone can tell you what worked for them, and they can say it might not work for you, but they can't tell you why. I can tell you why. Welcome to the QuitCast. Not having a plan. And I know some of you who are not planners are going to push back on me about this, but listen to me. I do not mean not having a, I'm going to be stuck tomorrow and therefore I'm going to do these five things plan. That's not what I mean. What I mean is you don't know what you do to get unstuck. And some of you who already have done this work that we do with the stuck list in the past know you've already been through this process. You know that you should do this. And some of us are still not doing this. And I just want to put forth a plug, because the most common thing I see happen with writers when they're stuck is that they get so stalled out trying to figure out what happened and why they're stuck that they don't quickly go to the execution of the tactic. So if you've watched our channel for any length of time, you know we talk a lot about the Clifton Strengths metric, and there are a certain segment of Clifton Strengths, which are a success pattern identifier, but there's a certain segment of Clifton Strengths that are called execution strengths. And every time we do a big, big group author event where we have a whole bunch of different authors with different strengths around, we always hear, I wish that I had more executing strengths. But what they're really wishing is they wish that they could take action when they need to, instead of doing whatever it is that they do otherwise, either thinking or worrying or running away losing themselves in something else, right? They wish that instead of doing those things that they could do what they think all their other friends do, which is immediately take action. And I'm here to tell you, you do not need executing strengths in order to be able to take action quickly when you are stuck. All you need is to reduce your decision fatigue. Most of the time, what happens with us, because we are so stressed out, there's so many things happening in other arenas of our lives, we can't have the presence of mind in the moment when we actually get stuck to think, okay, I'm stuck, here's what I'm going to go do, because that logical side of our brain is not in charge in that moment. We're stressed out. And if we are stressed out and also have decision fatigue, which most of us have, and we don't even realize it, like we're so tired of having to make decisions, we don't even realize that part of the problem is we're constantly putting ourselves into places where we have decisions to make at all times. And I'm going to talk about that in a second. But the number one thing I want to see more of us do is to just have a plan. The good news is you do not have to read my book. You don't have to buy the stuck list card. You don't have to do anything that we put out as a product. You can do this yourself. All I want you to do, because this is the first step we go through in the workbook, right? All I want you to do is to go back through all the times that you've been unstuck before and make lists of everything you did to get yourself unstuck. It is not a big mystery for most of us. Almost always the thing that gets us unstuck is the same every time. Not only one thing, but that we have a rotation of things that consistently get us unstuck all the time. So when we do not have a plan, though, what happens is in the moment we get stuck and then we kick into fight or flight mode because we're stressed out by being stuck, especially if we're more dominant in the Clifton Strengths thinking domains, where we have to reach a different point of certainty before we can take action. So we don't always think like, oh yeah, that's why I'm stuck and therefore I'm going to go do this thing. So I'm telling you, you can shortcut that process by just having a list of things to do when you get stuck. So when we say make a stuck list, it's not a big magic tool. It really, I mean, we do have some things in the book that I think are worth checking out, et cetera. But again, you don't have to buy anything from us to do this. You can just go through and make a list of everything that has ever been unstuck or that's ever gotten you unstuck in the past. But the key is you have to have it near you when you get stuck. Because if you don't, you will not know how to execute in the moment. You just get too stressed out. And I know a lot of us are like, I don't get stressed out, Becca. I'm fine. What I'm saying is not that you are incapable. What I'm saying is in the moment, you're trying to figure out what it is that you need to do instead of just going to the list. It's a little bit like if you know that there's a recipe for making bread, but you keep trying to reinvent bread every single time you sit down to make bread or stand up to make bread, you reinvent the recipe every time. Just use the recipe, Kevin. It's okay. Like you can just have a list, right? So anyway, that's the first mistake that I think the majority of authors make is just not knowing what typically gets them unstuck and quickly taking action on those things. The problem is that we often have a desire to find certainty about why we're stuck. And so we go through this process of trying to think about it rather than taking action on the thing that is next. And granted, sometimes one of the action steps might be to go for a drive or take a shower so I can think about it, right? But we constantly are trying to find certainty about what to do next when the pattern is already there for us to have seen. So like, let's just jump into the pattern. Okay, so that's the first one. The second one is not considering how much our habits have to do with the fact that we are stuck. Let me tell you a quick story. So I started off coaching writers long, long time ago. And I initially was coaching just my friends because I was also a fiction writer. And my goal was they would keep coming to me with problems. And I was like, oh, try this, you know, because like number one input in the Clifton Strengths, I like to be helpful. And so what I was noticing as I started watching more and more and more writers getting stuck is that I would ask them pretty simple questions like, what did you do with your time instead? And they would say things like, well, I mean, I was on Facebook for 4 hours, but, you know, can't help that or whatever, right? Like it was sort of an offhanded, like I was on Facebook for 4 hours. And I would say, what if you just don't go on Facebook tomorrow though? Like, what if you just tried that? Because if Facebook is the problem, then let's go after the problem. But they would glitch because the biological need that we have, right? Like the desire for dopamine that we have that Facebook or Instagram or TikTok or whatever has connected into has made us believe that we need those things to survive. And so it has a very strong mechanism of like, I don't want to give that up. And so I would say like, what if you just didn't do that? And then as I started teaching this course that I developed for coaching writers through productivity, I found that one of the most common things that would happen after that course was the people would just stop reaching for their phone first thing in the morning, and then it would change everything about their outcome with their writing. And the reason that I keep coming back to this over and over and over again is because we constantly forget that that's what we should be doing. And sometimes we just need the reminder. And so I just want to remind us that our habits are often the source of why we're stuck. And that has to do with number three, which I'm going to talk about in a second. But the habits of things like going on social media first, opening email first. And again, if this doesn't apply to you, it's okay. We'll get to you in the next one. But the email, social media, and things like that, or we find ourselves on a loop throughout the day where we keep going back to check in on those comments on TikTok. Like, I just want you to look at whether your habits are part of the problem. Because we almost always want to go after habits like, I procrastinate all the time and I write so much to deadline. And so I need to find a system that will solve my writing to deadline problem. And I'm like, well, it's not going to work because your system isn't the reason in terms of like the things you think you're executing. That's not the reason that you're struggling with this deadline orientation. It's because you do these things that your body thinks you need so often that you lose your ability to control those things when you need to. And then social media or email becomes more easy and more fun. And we also conflate it with work sometimes, right? So we're constantly like, well, I have to be on social media in order to talk to my readers, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm like, you can do that for 15 minutes at 8 p.m. at night. It doesn't have to be all day, Susan. And I know that not everyone struggles with social media, but enough of us do that I need to bring this up in the stuck arena. Because what we often don't see is I'll get stuck at 50% in my book, let's say, But part of the reason that I get stuck is because I keep getting pulled out of the manuscript every 15 minutes and 5 minutes and sometimes 1 minute, because I'm so aware of what I'm missing with the dopamine hits that I just can't stop going back to them. And because we want the dopamine so much, we don't ever question the premise of whether we should just maybe do a fast completely. So if you are getting stuck regularly in your book, I'm just going to encourage you, it's possible that your habits, especially the habitual use of social media, or the habitual checking first of email, or the habitual texting everyone that you know first thing in the morning, or whatever, it's possible that some of those habits are actually what are causing you to not be able to get into the manuscript. And so when it gets hard in the manuscript, the friction of being stuck is often too much, and we just keep going somewhere else to do it. And so again, just consider it. Number three, we are so fatigued with having to make decisions in every other part of our life that we just cannot muster the ability to make one more decision in the book. Decision fatigue for writers is so significant. I'm shocked that no one talks about this more. And maybe it is just because not a lot of other people that I've ever met have coached the volume of writers that I've coached. And when you coach this many people, you just see patterns so easily because the validity of the numbers in like small doses. So if I do a class where there's 50 people in the class, I see some patterns, but they may give me a false sense of security about the pattern itself, because the numbers are too small. But when I can see, you know, 5,000-6,000 people, it's a totally different experience, because you're seeing like what is really consistent over larger and larger numbers. And so often, and in fact, I think this is part of our overwhelm problem in the writing community. I think it's part of our fatigue problem. It's part of our burnout problem. It's part of why we get stuck so often, is that we are so tired of making decisions that we cannot even function sometimes. Like we can't even process. So I'm just going to put in a word for minimizing the number of places you allow yourself to be online throughout the day, minimizing the number of times you check your email, minimizing the number of times you do digital stuff. And I know we talked about this a little in the last reason, but it is such a big deal in so many ways how much of our life exists online. And if you think about so many authors, so from a percentage point in our coaching, it's 58% of authors, but I think the number is actually higher than this. But 58% of authors have what's called intellection dominant in their CliftonStrengths metric. And what intellection is, if you imagine a situation, and if I need to find clarity about a situation, I need to think around the situation. I need to think about it, right? And often intellection is perspectival. So it's trying to think around it, see if we missed anything, try and think of it from a different angle, right? Try and consider things on a more deep level. We talk about intellection a lot like a bread machine, where if you put ingredients inside the bread machine and then let it just do its work, it looks inactive from the outside because it's just thinking. But inside, it's process, process, process. And there's all this work that's happening. So I might be sitting on my couch for 30 minutes. I might be staring off into the middle distance. If you ever watched me do a podcast, you would see me stop constantly and just start intellecting because I have high intellection. So I'll be in the middle of talking. And of course, we edit this out so you can't ever see it. But I'll be in the middle of talking and all of a sudden, I'll just be like, oh, like I'll just look off and start intellecting, right? Because I'm thinking around the situation and trying to reach certainty by doing this. What that means is, if we imagine that the majority of authors, and I think, again, it's higher than a majority, I think it's a significant portion, but a majority of authors have some level of need to think to reach certainty, some higher than others. And if that's the case, then the number of things that you can think about at one time is severely limited when you have a capacity like that. So when you let too many things in and you're trying to reach certainty on too many things, you're going to get overwhelmed because there's just too much for your brain that only has a certain number of train tracks to think about. So if you let fewer things in, Like you can't see all of them. You can't take all of them in. And we're all so worried about missing out. We have this fear of missing out. And the FOMO is causing us to miss out on the actual work that we could be doing or on the actual forward progress we could be making because we are so afraid of missing the big break or the one piece of information that we're allowing it to keep us in these environments that are so dangerous and destructive for us. And they are also causing a level of decision fatigue that is overwhelming us. In fact, any of you who are TikTok users, if you've ever seen where you'll be scrolling and someone will have to come on the screen and be like, hang on a second, you need to stop and go get some water or get a snack or go to sleep or whatever, depending on what time of day you're scrolling. And the reason they had to do that is that we are all so overwhelmed with decision fatigue that even just deciding to get off of TikTok, which is such an easy decision for us to just keep scrolling because it's so repetitive and so simple and because the videos can be so entertaining, right? But they had to actually stop us and say, no, you need to decide to get off of TikTok. And the more you allow yourself to be making decisions constantly, even if the decision is, should I scroll, right, to the next video, all of the decisions that you're making are costing you pennies and you only have a certain number of pennies. So the more decisions you force yourself to make on a regular basis, the harder it is to make decisions inside the manuscript. And then you can become overwhelmed with the story just because you had 750 emails to answer and you don't know where to start. And there's 55 people who need something from you and you don't know where to start. And it is so, like, I see people physically get overwhelmed and I want to just say, is this worth it? Is the level of connection and the possibility of happening upon this one thing worth your insanity? Is it worth not writing? Is it worth being constantly overwhelmed? Is it worth burning out? And I feel like at some point we're going to have to say, no, it isn't worth it. And so many of us have already been through the process of detoxing from a lot of the online digital media. We've been shutting off more and unplugging more. We've been going off grid more. And I'm really happy to see that. If any of you haven't already read Joanna Penn's Pilgrimage book, for instance, I highly recommend the Pilgrimage book, Joanna Penn Pilgrimage. Just the idea of unplugging our intellect and brains from the level of decisions that we have to think about and make on a regular basis is so valuable. And I cannot overstate enough how much some of us need to unsubscribe, unfollow. And hey, if you unsubscribe and unfollow us because it's better for your mental health, then do it. Because I want us just to be sane and safe. And if we would more aggressively decide, I'm going to miss out on more of this so that I can take more advantage of my own brain's capacity to think and take more advantage of the sanity that comes when I'm more disconnected and when I don't have people constantly asking me to make decisions about whether or not to do this tactic and this thing and whether or not to have this class or conference or book or podcast or YouTube or whatever it is, right? And again, we are just as guilty of this as everybody is because all we're trying to do is make helpful content, but there just are too many of us for you to keep up with every single person. And on some level, you're going to have to make a decision that says, I'm going to protect my sanity and I'm going to protect my ability to write better books and get deeper into my books and use that capacity that I have for intellect more because I'm going to shut things off so I don't have decision fatigue. And if you are getting stressed out just at the thought of having to make meals every day because it's one more decision for you to make, I'm just going to encourage you to try automating as much as you can. And I know a lot of us don't like the idea of automating because we're like, oh, I want all the choices. No, you don't. You don't, though. Like, there are too many choices for you out there. So I'm trying something because I'm just going to try it. I want to see if this will help me because I'm getting so stressed out at the level of decisions that I have to make sometimes that I'm just like, how much can I automate at this point? So I'm just going to make an encouragement for us to either close down or automate more of what we're doing. The only reason I say that is because I do think that automation is something we haven't been talking about enough, just in general in productivity. And so I'm looking forward to talking more about that. But anyway, so that's the third reason. We are making way too many choices all the time, and we get overwhelmed with the choices that we need to make at the manuscript. So sometimes the fullness level of our real life and the fullness level of our digital life is causing us to not be able to make progress in the book because we are so fatigued about all of the decisions we have to make all the time that we cannot make story progress. So just consider cutting things down, shutting things off, unfollowing, unsubscribing, canceling out. Just consider doing all those things, especially if you just got like a physical sense of relief in your body. When I talked about that, you need to do it. Like, you just need to do it. Okay. The fourth one. And honestly, I could make probably seven of these videos because there are so many things that we do to solve writer's block or to solve being stuck or whatever that just are not as helpful as they could be. And so who knows, if this content is super helpful, maybe we'll make more of it. We are definitely doing more content on being stuck in general, just because of the book releasing. So we'll see. But anyway, the fourth mistake that many or most authors make when they're stuck is judging themselves for being stuck. The way that we collectively worship productivity in this culture, in this world, is so toxic. It is not possible for me to be frustrated enough with that I could make words about it. Like, even now, it is just the thought of that is so frustrating to me because I want to change this, right? And I know we're seeing a lot of as we have hit the sort of burnout culture phase, right? And a lot of people are in recovery and we're all kind of trying to pendulum back. I know there's a lot of people who are like, go completely, you know, off grid, go completely, like, don't care at all about being productive. And I know for those of us who are dominant in executing strengths, and even just for some of us who are high and strategic in the Clifton strengths, we want to make good choices. Some of us who are very high in empathy, right? We have assimilated that being productive equals being good. But so often, because we have this worship of productivity, we believe that productivity is righteous and that anything that does not lead to us writing more words or being more productive or making forward progress is the enemy of us. And I was just finishing reading the audiobook because I had to narrate the audiobook. And I came across this chapter in the stuck list that was about, you know, leaving the house and getting out. And I told this story about how when I was a kid, I used to want to move to Charlotte Bronte country. Like, my whole dream and fantasy as a young writer was to be able to live on the moors and walk out in the middle of nowhere and just be by myself and be inspired and be thinking. And I had this moment when I was reading that out loud where I got so emotional for that dream that I had once had. And I thought, when I had that dream, it was not an escape the way that it is now. Like, now I dream about escaping to the Yorkshire Dales, specifically because it's too much, right? Like, being this connected to everyone and being this accessible and being with everyone all the time is just, it's too much, right? And so right now it's an escape. But when I was a kid, I associated creativity with space. And I did not have this worship of productivity, this worship of the written word that I have somehow developed by being an indie author for 11 years, or by just being a published author for 13 years, or just by being it really started with going indie. And anyway, the thing that sort of stopped me when I was reading that segment of the book was this judgment that I was placing on myself, on my younger self, for not understanding what it took to be able to make a living writing. And of course, you know me, question the premise. I immediately stopped and was like, nope, I got to question that premise. Is that it? Was I really not caring about how productive? Because even as a kid, I still wanted to write as many books as I could. And I was writing constantly. And I thought I would have written thousands of books in my lifetime if I could have, right? Like I know I wanted to produce books, but there was some knowledge that I had as a kid about what actually makes good books happen for me. Because I know there are people who can write extremely fast, who write extremely good books, who are extremely productive, and they are able to do that and still write good books. There's nothing righteous about writing slow. But for me, the brain that I have, the amount of consideration that I need, even just small things like, do I have the space to think about the book for long enough that the answer that I want will come to me? Or am I constantly trying to force myself to produce the book? And yeah, sometimes, because I know what some of you are thinking, some of you are like, but if I don't, then I'm going to, you know, not be able to release the book. And then who's going to pay my mortgage? And I acknowledge that like some of us are very caught up in this productivity mindset where we have to worship productivity because we are making a living from the writing. And also, I think a lot of us are going to learn in the next 3 to 5 years, if we haven't already learned it, because some of us have already learned it, that maybe being a full-time author isn't for us because we do not function the best when we are forcing ourselves to be productive above everything. And again, everybody's different. Some of us really love productivity. Some of us super love writing fast. Not everybody needs the same thing, right? But this is just a consistent thing that I see overall with writers, that we have this worship of productivity that feels like if I'm stalled or stuck, that I'm a bad person. I'm a bad example. There's something wrong with me, right? But the creation of new art, the creation of new story, the creation of new things is so unique. It is not like producing a widget in a factory. It is not like making a pie in the oven, right? It is very unpredictable and it can change every single time we do it. And yet we have this worship of productivity that is causing us to stall out. And then when we get stuck, we are judging ourselves and trying to guilt ourselves for being stuck. And then we're trying to go around and find all of these systems that will help us to just not get stuck anymore. And a lot of those systems, especially those of us who are not actually outliners, a lot of those systems are ruining our creative process. So I just want us to consider whether or not my personal worship of productivity is causing me to judge myself in ways that are unhelpful. And even if you do still want to be as productive as possible, but you're going to stop judging yourself for getting stuck because you can't help it. It's sort of like you don't judge toddlers for crying. They don't know any better. They cannot do any different. You can give them skills to try and help them assimilate the information quicker, but it's not like you can just be like, well, you're never allowed to cry again, and therefore just don't do it. Like, that's not going to be helpful for them. And again, that's the same for all humans. It's not like it's only toddlers. So you're thinking in your mind, because I can just hear some of you are like, oh no, but I can train myself not to get stuck anymore. And I'm like, oh, but that mindset is the problem. Because for many of us, getting stuck is actually beneficial to the process and it's beneficial to the book. We make the books better by getting stuck over and over again. And some of us make the books better by being stuck at very specific points in the book, but I'll talk about that later. But I just wanted to highlight these four things because I think it's important for us as often as possible to consider that there might be a different way of doing things from the way we're doing it right now. So if you fall into one of those four categories, I'm just going to encourage you to think about why that might be important for you to know. If you're a person who needs a plan because you definitely don't have one and you do get stuck a lot, then consider making a plan. if you're a person who needs to maybe quit some social media, or if you're a person who needs to stop checking your email first, or if you just will not even experiment with slowing down or stopping or leaving places, just experiment, just try it. It can be an experiment. You can go back on it. I just want you to see what will happen. Okay. I'm going to stop now because I have a lot more content I want to do in the future. So for right now, make sure that you follow the Dear Becca newsletter, and there will be a link in the show notes to follow that if you don't currently, because we do coaching newsletters every, like all the time. We also do live coaching every month. And our hope is that we'll be able to take questions that you have and answer them live. And my goal, as always, is to be able to be as helpful as possible. So I hope this podcast has helped you. Thank you, everyone, for being here. And I'll see you on the next QuickCast. Bye, everybody.